You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Welcome back to Real Insight, Keen Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 133, Furious 7. So, I finally was able to get my review done for the movie. So it's a few weeks coming, but I got to thinking how to do the movie justice, especially with Paul Walker. I didn't find too many particular jokes, but I found a good to be a good ending to the series. I know we have Vin Diesel saying that there might be a Fast and Furious 8, so we'll see what happens with that, if there's even a sequel, if they reboot the franchise, or what's going on. But I got to thinking why I was rather indifferent to this movie, what kind of bothered me about it. So it's a little bit different as far as the summary for this particular review, but overall I found it a pretty good movie in general. So as I mentioned, it worked for me just because I thought of it as the end of a series. So if they do make more, we'll see how that will go. But with that, I'll jump into the review for Furious 7. So the movie released in the United States on April 3rd, 2015, with the summary, Deckard Shaw seeks revenge against Dominic Toretto and his family for his comatose brother. So it essentially is the sequel to, I believe, Fast and Furious 6. So if anything, if you haven't seen any of the other ones, you should at least watch the last one, at least Fast and Furious 5, I believe, whenever they introduce the character for The Rock. So that's more or less kind of if you want to have his backstory or how he plays into it. But at least I think the last one or the one before it will introduce him as the, I believe it was DEA or federal agent, something along those lines. So not too much backstory is needed there. If memory serves, it's not too much going on. He essentially is out initially for Dominic Toretto and the crew for stealing money, and that's about it. So I'll have a link in the show notes for the IMDb profile, Wikipedia pages, as well as the Rotten Tomatoes page. On Rotten Tomatoes, it is getting, or at last check, it was hovering about around 82%, so generally well-received. I believe the audience rated it at about 87%, so overall very well-liked. I will say that I did like it for its action sequences. They were pretty good. I mean, they were a little bit, or pretty over-the-top, but a little bit more enjoyable than the last movie, so I will leave that part of it there. So with that, I'll jump into the insight. So to start it off, I always provide full cable specs so I can Google the color. So early on in the movie, when they're hacking into the hotel security in Dubai, I found it particularly funny that they had very specifically color-coded Cat 5 cables, and they specify the color and went the whole nine yards to categorize it or to label it and help Ted find it. And I just found it humorous to myself that they went out of their way to label it that much. Next up, though, we have The Rock's major scene, I suppose, for this movie, essentially because for the latter part of the movie he was hospitalized until the last quarter of the movie approximately. But Doom Guy with BFG sure has perfect timing, so I'm getting to think that Dwayne Johnson's character is gonna end up just being his portrayal of Doom Guy. So if anything, it's a good performance. I do actually like his role in the Fast and the Furious movies, but it does seem kind of generic in what he is doing. But to round it out, how can I tether my phone that fast, and do I get 4G? So we have the important hacking scene at towards the end of the movie where we have Paul Walker hacking into the city's network, and essentially he's using his Android phone. I want to go with a Galaxy S4 or 5. Probably to account for filming and all that, I'll probably go with a Galaxy S4. But essentially, he's using his phone's internet connection, and everything's, it basically, in less than a minute, probably even 30 seconds or so, he's able to hook up his phone and get an internet connection and be tethered and be providing local access from his phone. And I got to thinking, just with knowing how, I'll say picky phone companies are with tethering, that if he has a tethering plan, how he's able to get it set up that fast and all that. I mean, granted, he's in the realm of the movie or the sphere of the movie world, he's probably a professional at it, but it seemed a little bit out there as far as me wanting to, let's say, tether my phone. It does take a little bit of time to get it set up, so 30 seconds seems a bit too fast. I probably would have been happier at maybe a minute or two, but then I guess on the flip side, it probably doesn't make for a good filmmaking. So essentially, I give the movie a real score of an 80%. It was pretty good. Good continuation of the prior movies. Watching it on its own probably doesn't make too much sense. So I would recommend at least watching the last one, maybe the last two movies. So 5, 6, and 7. The ending of the movie does bring Tokyo Drift into the fold a little bit more, so you get a little bit of a time frame. So I actually probably would recommend watching Tokyo Drift maybe after this one, or maybe right before this one, as they are kind of in the same similar time frame of things. So probably number 6, then 3, then 7, so kind of get a proper order of things, because it kind of throws that time, the timeline out of whack. So I will round out this particular episode with what I liked about this movie, mainly because it does bring in elements from the prior movies. I want to say to honor the passing of Paul Walker, which actually they did. I actually kind of liked it. It was done pretty well. There was, I think, only the one or two scenes maybe where you have the, I forget what the actual title of it is, where it's hard to bridge that gap between a computer-generated face and a real face, but when you have that issue, it's kind of your mind trying to determine if it is real or not. I don't know. I want to go with Monument Valley, but that's a whole other issue. But essentially, there's that discrepancy. Your mind tries to process a fake image when it's trying to be, trying to perceive it as real. But overall, a pretty good movie. So they do bring in from the first movie, I thought, the elements of family. Everyone's super close, and that is kind of how they round out this movie. The second one was with the ejector seats, kind of brought into this one how to exit your vehicle safely, especially with the whole parachuting car scenes. The third one with Tokyo Drift, moving around tight spaces. So I guess it was more of the the hotel scene, and just getting from one place to another, especially when they have the jumping of from one hotel to another. Number 4, I went with personal loss with the loss of Letty. And then number 5, shifting team ups, just because we do have Dwayne Johnson's character first pursuing the crew and then hiring them to do a job. And then finally, attachment from loss. So the reintroduction of Letty's character and how to bring her back into the fold of things. So a lot of different elements, but it all came down to family and loss. So overall, a pretty good movie, worth watching. They do have this the sequence at the end to honor Paul Walker, and then every character having their own scene, so to speak, to personalize his loss. So worth watching for that as well. But that is really all for this particular episode. So I guess I will round it out with just repeating that definitely go and check the movie. Watch all of, would say all of them if you aren't a car racing, but I would say I do prefer the last few a little bit more, just because they have more of a story, and they have more, or becomes more than just about the car. So it's a good buildup. But if you want the transition and more of the backstory, start at the beginning. So that is all for this particular episode. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. And you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. And of course, you can help support the show and the network by visiting us on Patreon at patreon.com/geekio, or by checking out one of our many sponsors by visiting geek-io.net/support. And of course, you can find this and every show on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.